you for the introduction, and thank you for everybody that's came today. So hopefully with this presentation, I can give you an insight on some of the uses of a visualization tool and some of the strategies and the tools that we use here at the Noble Foundation for our forage and agronomy research. And this presentation is going to be specifically on sensor-collected forage data. With sensors in mind, I want to start out the presentation talking about the instruments and how we deploy these sensors in the field. So here's a list of the instruments that are found on each of our sensor units that we deploy for our research. So we have a set of spectral sensors that produce the data information necessary to calculate our NDVI indexes. Some of these also have the ability to collect atmospheric conditions such as humidity, temperature, barometric pressure, and even canopy temperature simultaneously as all these other instruments are collecting data. We have two lasers and a sonic that produce our vegetation height data, and a GPS that accompanies all our units, so we have a spatial reference at each of the sample points. You can also see in the pictures that we have two different platforms that we use to deploy our sensors for our research. We have the CART platform and the SPIRE platform. Our CART platform is a more simplistic design that we use predominantly for our grazing research, or research that requires a large coverage of our sensors that we deploy. And our SPIRE platform is a more advanced system that we use for our small plot research. So with all these instruments on that sensor package, how do we get that to a data output that we can actually analyze? And that's where we came up with the AgriLogger software that we built in-house. We collaborated with our computing services at the foundation. You'll see this image right here. This is a simple interface to what the software is when you're deploying the sensors in the field that allows you to configure those sensors and to function them. And this is the actual comma-delimited text file that's produced, and that's kind of the output of that AgriLogger software. As you can see, you have your laser measurements, your sonic measurements, your information from your spectral sensors. So once we have all that information, we go back to the lab, then what do? So in the work with my supervisor, Josh Pittman, in his studies in 2015 and 2016, he modeled and tested using sensor collected measurements, specifically laser height, sonic, and NDVI, that calculate biomass and crude protein for these fallen forages. So we can apply this to alfalfa, Bermuda grass, wheat, and tall fescue, and they associate R-square values with each one of those for that study. So why do we need a visualization tool? How is it beneficial, and how can it help us agronomy and forage researchers, and even the industry and agriculture producers that have access to this technology? First of all, for the people that are involved with the sensor data collection, is whenever we have a data collection event where we have sensors, you traditionally have a very large data set. And the tasks are pretty daunting when you have to consider the spatial editing and the formatting that has to be done before it's prepared for analysis. These models have proven to be a very valuable tool in looking at the validity and the integrity of that data before we go any further with our analysis. But ultimately, that can be applicable to any science at this meeting and beyond, is it illustrates that point in time what those forest characteristics are doing out there. It helps us depict trends, patterns, or anything significant that may not be readily seen when you're looking at other data formats. Whether you're in the plant breeding world, looking at performance of different cultivars or varieties, whether you're looking at nutrient management, management implications, these visualization tools and these surface models really help us see visually what's going on out there in the field. And on our last point, it's very efficient in allowing us to monitor and evaluate our forages and different implications. Time is typically a variable in all our evaluations and studies that we do, so having those models set up on a time lapse, you can really see what the effects and implications are having and be able to visually assess that. So next couple of slides is kind of just a step-by-step guide on how we produce these models. Anybody that has the forage data, the right data format, and has this is every Esri software. This is ArcMap 10.3. Anybody can produce these models. So once you have the program open, we access the Arc Toolbox, which is all your spatial analytic tools. We want to look for the geostatistical analysis tools, interpolation, and then after that, you have a list of these models. I suggest to anybody that's using these strategies for the first time to use each one of these models that are listed here. And each one of them essentially produce the same looking model, but they have different statistical and logical approaches to how those models are produced. So you have to have a shapefile or a feature data class file to work in this software. So for this example, this is paddock number 4. It's an alfalfa Bermuda grass mixed paddock. It's subjected to continuous grazing, and it was collected on October 5th, 2015. Each one of these files have an associate attribute table or spreadsheet that's assigned to them. So for this particular data collection event, you'll see that you have your laser and sonic measurements, your NDVI, and in this case, we already have our biomass and crude protein calculations already in that file. As long as you have a spatial reference, a GPS coordinate to any of these indexes and calculations, you can use these models for that. For the benefit, for this sake of the presentation, what we use in our lab traditionally, we use the empirical Bayesian kriging model. We found that to be best to distinguish what we're looking for in our sensor data. And this is that window blowing up. What I wanted to point out here, I won't go over all of these, but there's different parameters that could be adjusted when producing these models. And I think the number one that has the greatest effect on how your model is going to come out is this search neighborhood parameters. So each one of these models have a prediction capacity. I mean, our goal is with these models is you want to predict the forest characteristics beyond that sample point. And you do that by adjusting these. Now, by default, the Esri software puts this at 15 and 10. So if you were going to adjust any parameters, it would probably be this one we're producing the models. So once you push enter, this is what you, this is kind of the output that you should expect. This is just an example on forest biomass for a grazing paddock. And what I wanted to drive home here was the different formatting that you can do on the aesthetics of what this model comes out. And obviously one big effect is your scale. I mean, depending on the variability of your data, and setting that scale in those class breaks is going to, you know, for example, this is set on 5 different classes. The software actually lets you go 0 to 30. So it all depends on the variability data and how well resolution that you want to have with that. There's different color ramps that are available. The last point that I want to make is this transparency tool. So anybody that's worked in the GIS or spatial environment knows that there's thousands of spatial data-rich layers that exist out there, whether it's hydrology, whether it's ecological site descriptions, soil maps, and most agronomy forward researchers may want to overlay these biomass calculations over some of those layers to see if there's any kind of trends or relationships that could be affecting how those outcome. So like, for example, I got an aerial photography background, and I used 30% transparency on the actual model, and then a 70% transparency on the actual sample points that the sensors collected. So kind of just shows you the benefit of that. So the rest of the presentation, I'm going to discuss some of the examples and some kind of case studies that we've used this to our benefit. This particular study is a summer dormant tall fescue nitrogen response study. We deployed sensors on a biweekly basis. We harvested that tall fescue promptly thereafter, and we use a spider platform to collect this. Now, all these following models are going to be NDVI. What I wanted to point out before we go to that time lapse is this is our treatment plot map. You can obviously see where there was zero nitrogen applied. You can see that these models did a very good job depicting the NDVI differences on different nitrogen rates, and that's what we're looking for. And this can be applied to herbicide or any other associated data that you're trying to analyze and you want to visualize. So next couple of slides, we did data from January all the way through mid-July, and I'm going to run through these. So this is January, February into April and March, into May, all the way to July. At this point, this depending on moisture and temperatures, because this is a dormancy forage, it's fallen into. There's a couple of things that we can look at. We can look at through time the nutrient management effects that you have on that different forage in the small plot research scenario. And also, because this is a dormancy forage, we can look at the variability on the plants that go in and out of dormancy at the same time. And the models do a really good job depicting that. Our next example is a large-scale grazing study that we're currently doing at the NOAA Foundation. This is part of our Forest 365 initiative. Just really briefly on the kind of the scope of this project, we have 18 different grazing paddocks. Each of them are split into 5 different sub-paddocks, one being a continuous grazing paddock and 4 of them being rotational grazing. We have different forage types. We're looking at continuous versus rotational, and some of these were subjected to different nitrogen fertilizer rates, as well as some cattle were supplemented with feed. And the two main focuses is we want to look at the resilience and the performance of that forage under these different management implications and treatments, while simultaneously identifying what that cattle weight gain is and what system is going to put the most weight on those cattle through time. For this particular example, we have forage biomass measurements. So these are measurements that were taken before any cattle were put on these paddocks. So not only do we have the numbers, but we also can visually see how that, on a landscape level, how that forage biomass is across there. This is 30 days later. This is on a 28-day cycle. So this is 28 days later for the continuous grazing paddock, and this is 7 days later for each of the rotation intervals. So we can look visually what that not just with the numbers, but we can also visually assess what that biomass is doing from each time. Now, this particular study, we have 36 weekly data collection events, and we're still collecting data as we speak on our alfalfa Bermuda grass paddocks. So you can imagine when we have all of these visual models built for every one of those data collection events, we can really start visually depicting what's going on with these systems and how that relates to cattle weight gain. Our next example is forage crude protein on the same paddock. And this is 30 days later. That transparency tool that I kind of brought up a couple slides back, it might be interesting if you overlay them two together and you can really see the relationship of that biomass and crude protein under different implications in grazing. So to pull all that together and where we go from here, for the benefit of our lab, we're going to continue using these visual tools, especially on the post-processing of our data, sensor data collection and preparing it for analytics. One thing I really like to work on and collaborate with other groups at the Noble Foundation is automating the surface model production process. That way we can batch process several different data collection events at once, but locking in those specific parameters that we want the models to build off of. And what I strongly recommend that these visual tools could be applied to, especially for sensor collected data, is evaluating the data integrity, specifically when you're in that process and editing stage. It's also, I think it's very beneficial when we monitor and evaluate forage conditions over time. And when coupled with other data graphics and other research finds, I think it's very valuable in providing additional support and really resonate and bring home what your data is trying to find. So with that, I'll be addressing any questions.
Any questions for our speaker?
So I think the question was some of the examples I used on the grazing studies. How we're coming up with those calculations? So the question was when we have a mixed species like alfalfa Bermuda grass paddocks using our sensors to calculate the forage biomass and crude protein. I didn't put it on there, but those papers that I referred to actually have a calculation for mix. So it actually accommodates if there's a mixed species like alfalfa Bermuda grass, and our square values are pretty similar to the other ones. So that's a good question. Do what now?
Will it give you, of the 1,000 pounds, how much weight for you and how much weight for alfalfa?
No. I don't think so, no.
We look at that.
Thank you very much, Jesse.